Hey guys, I'm your host Danielle, and you're listening to The Eavesdrop, where we talk about life, love, and all things taboo. So, marijuana is legal. Now what? Is it okay to openly discuss smoking weed without the stigma behind it? On today's show, we're going to cover all things marijuana, the legality of it, and the medical need for it. My guest today is Ashley Simons, a consumer of Bloom Farms products. Bloom Farms is a medical cannabis company that focuses on providing enjoyable medicine to patients who use medical cannabis as a part of healthy lifestyle, while giving back to the community and removing the negative social stigmas of cannabis. Hey, Ashley.
Hey, how are you, Danielle?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today to talk to us about medical marijuana use.
Thank you for having me.
So let's tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 25 years old. I've realized that I really wanted to be into photography. I figured out that I want to be a fine art photographer, age 20, and I've really been working on that. I've dealt with like depression, insomnia, amongst other things, and I've used cannabis as a remedy for most of that, and then also working out and having a social and an open lifestyle of having people that I can talk to. It really has helped me like throughout my life.
So when exactly was the first time that you used cannabis or like marijuana?
Well, the first time I actually used cannabis, it was kind of taboo because I didn't really want to smoke in high school. It wasn't necessarily something I was really interested in. I branched out and decided to start smoking like towards my junior or senior year of high school, but I really didn't get into it until like college. The reason why, I never felt the need for it, not because I didn't find like, oh, people who do it are bad or anything like that. It wasn't something that I wanted to do. To me, I was just like, okay, when I'm ready to venture into it, I'll venture into it. If not, no big deal. And so like the first time I actually smoked was with my friend Annie and her friends. And normally I would always say no and no. And so I was talking to one of her friends and he was just like, it's not that big of a deal. If you just have one like drag, it'll be fine. And lo and behold, like I had that beautiful one drag, and I still remember the strain to this day. It was God's gift, and it lived up to the name. It was a gift from God, and I was so happy about it. And I just, started kind of dabbling into the cannabis industry and the cannabis like lifestyle after that.
So how did you get into the cannabis field?
Like, it wasn't necessarily something that I was just like, oh, I want to do this. It kind of like crept up on me of like over years of me being in high school, then in college, and I started talking to other people. I had friends who were bud tenders. I had friends who were working as farmers, like growers, all of these things of like different walks of life of people like that I've met, and they kind of like got me interested in like, oh, you should learn how to trim, oh, you should learn how to grow, you should learn how to do amongst of these other things. So I kind of dabbled among with my friends in the beginning until I landed an actual job that I love so much now. But essentially, like, it's hard to get in the cannabis industry. It's easy and it's hard because it's not necessarily a professional level yet to where people can walk in and give you a resume, give you a list of references and everything like that, because the stigma of it being so sketch and like people having to feel like they have to go in back doors and do all of these things to where it's not the protocol of being able to, oh, I'm going to go to a job interview and I'm going to go and talk to these people and I can give them a list of references and people that I worked with, farmers, because everyone is afraid of being either raided, being robbed, or other things of them being like, oh, I don't want that much attention on me. Please just say that you know how to do this. If they ask how, just be like, through a friend, but don't give me my name. Like, so it's kind of hard to be able to say, oh, I did all of these things at these and these places, when right now we have to change the stigma and the mentality of what cannabis is.
So, like, when you first got started, like, how did you ended up getting the job? Did you have to let them know, like, I have a friend who taught me something, or
like when I started trimming, I literally had to say that I did, like, knew how to do it, but I didn't. So I worked extra vigorously and more paying attention of what other people were doing before I can just be like, yeah, like, I'm in it. Like, I had to trim a couple of stuff that my friends, like, had given me. And then when I was thrown into, like, oh, here's a farmer. Can you grow, like, some, like, so odd ounces for me in this amount of days? And I had to do it, or else, you know, it's just cutting into, like, well, why are you doing it for if you're not going to be able to bring a profit out of it? Because, like, trimming, it's a very tedious activity, and it's hard on your neck and your shoulders. So to me, it's like you have to work fast with your hands, or else you're losing money. And that was, like, the quickest way of me thinking, like, okay, rip off everything, do everything that you possibly can, get as much knowledge from other people so you can see a different technique. And that's how, like, I started talking to other people, making other friends. And then eventually it was, like, by grace of, like, fate that one of the Bloom Farms reps, they saw my photography photos on my Instagram and they liked it. And I was like, what is Bloom Farms? I was really interested in them. And then I, like, learned about them. And then lo and behold, they liked me and they kept me on. So I work with them. But normally I'm, like, a cannabis, like, let's smoke flower, let's do all of these different facets. Like, I learned how to extract flower, like, to get oil. So I'm like, wow, like, that blew my mind, like, in a CO2 extraction process or a high hot resin extraction. Oh my gosh, it was amazing.
So about that, about the extraction.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know if it'll take, like,
oh, it won't take that long. Oh yeah. So, like, essentially you need, like, a large amount of plant material. Like, you can't just have, like, a regular eighth and think that you're gonna get a bunch of oil from it. No, no, no. Like, you have to do, like almost a quarter, or like 12, like, if I break it down for you, like, you have to do, like, 7 grams of, like, flower plant material for you to at least get, like, a 9%, like, return rate of oil. And it's only a little bit, so you really would get, like, less than half. And it's, like, a high concentrated of THC oil for those people who like to dab. Those are the things that they like to go through. And, like, I feel like now we're kind of going into the exploration of cannabis. So it's like, oh, what can we do with, like, these processes? Will that be healthy? Will that not be healthy? Like, can you reintroduce terpenes into the oil, or can you create a whole new, like, layer of, like, like, oh, it's so amazing. It's hard to explain because it's just so much stuff. But it's really interesting. If once you start, like, looking into the whole technique of it all, you can see. So, like, you could just learn so much from it. It's not just a plant that you could just put in a pipe and smoke. There's so many things that can be happening with it.
So you mentioned that you're with Bloom Farms. So for those of us who aren't that familiar with Bloom Farms.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about them?
Well, we're a one-for-one company, and that means whenever someone donates for our Bloom Farms products, we help families in need in California that deal with food insecurity. Like, let's say you have to pay for rent, and you have all of these bills, and you're a family of four, and you don't have enough money to put food in your fridge. You can go to one of the food banks that we sponsor and either work 4 hours of volunteer service or spend $30 and get 150 pounds worth of free groceries for you and your family. So then that way you can get some of that really stress off your back. Like, at least, okay, I can't pay for groceries for these 2 weeks. At least they're going to give me these groceries and I'll be able to have some food. And it's not food that's necessarily bad. It's just, unfortunately, we waste a lot of food and groceries and a lot of not necessarily just groceries, but, like, let's say Whole Foods and Target, and how they have groceries now and how they waste food and they have to throw it out legally. So now it's just like, what are you going to do with all that food? Let's help people.
So what would you say separates Bloom Farms from other cannabis entities?
I feel like that's, if anything, like, a tricky question of it being like, well, we are a one for one, so that definitely strives us from being different. But then also it being like, okay, we're actually a farm. We're an actual farm that we actually care about our products. We are very vigorous in making sure everything is healthy and organic, and which is very nice because you don't really know once again, because it's so well open. It's not, there's no actual rules and litigation of having things be lab tested and how it should be and how, like, what are the rate ratios, and everyone having to get to a certain standard. So if anything, we are setting our own standard, and we're making sure that we have our core values standing up for it, and we stand behind our product 100%. And if something happens, we can always make sure, like, the consumer is happy. And I always feel like that's great about a product, about any company. If you feel like you can be able to stand behind your product 100% and be like, you know, if that didn't work out for you, it's okay, we can figure out, like, a whole situation, or here is the receipts behind what we say, like, we actually stand behind our stuff. So I really enjoy that about them. It definitely brings more integrity to the cannabis industry, and it brings integrity to myself, because you always want to stand up for what you've done, whether it's good or bad. And I just enjoy that.
So going back to what you said previously, like, how it's hard to break into the industry. But once you're in it, do you find, like, or I'm not sure if you know, but, like, have you tried to go for a job outside of it and then been placed in that stigma? Like, well, you've worked at a cannabis company.
Unfortunately, like, I don't want to even go back. Like, I want to stay in the cannabis industry. And then if anything, like, I want to implement myself in the cannabis industry in the art world. So to me, I feel like they can go hand in hand. But going backwards, I don't even want to think about it. But even, like, dealing with people, there is a negative stigma about it, and that's not fair, because if you do a drug test on me, you won't find anything else in my system but THC, because I barely drink, I barely do go out, I kind of, like, stay home, do what I need to do, get my schoolwork done, do photo stuff, and go out for work and hang out with a couple of friends and then go back home. So it's not like I'm doing an entity of different drugs and having a drug cocktail. That's not what I'm interested in. And I've realized a lot of other people, a lot of smokers, most of them do not do other drugs, because they just feel like, yeah, cannabis is good for me, man. It's a plant. It grows out of the earth, and that's beautiful, and it's all of these different remedies, and why not? Why do anything else if we can just do a plant? That's great. So, yeah, like, I feel like if I ever ran into the problem of wanting to do a job, like, let's say if I went to a photographer and they gave me a drug test, I would already tell him off the bat, the only thing you're going to find in my system is THC. If that's a problem with you, then I should go. But if it's not, great, I can stay, show you my work. And I, like, me smoking would have nothing to do with my work value. I always have a very high work, like, what's the word? It's going so blank in my mind.
Like, high work ethic?
Yes, ethic, yes. I have a very high work ethic, because I don't like to say that I'm going to do something and then not show through. I always like to make sure you're going to get a good interaction with me, a good experience with me, because I stand by my word. And so I feel like to get in the cannabis industry, it's going to be a lot of, can you deliver on your word? It's going to be definitely integrity, because with cannabis, and some people are going to be about the compassionate, making sure that everyone is getting the exact health and remedies that they need, or people are going to come be kind of across of them doing like, well, I want to make a profit, so this is just to make a profit. I don't care about anything else. I just want to make some money, get out my store, make more rotation of a foot traffic because I want more money. But it's not like, well, how are you feeling? Is this your back hurting? Well, here, I have tried these companies. I've tried these remedies. Let's see if this works for you. And so I feel like the people who want to get into the cannabis industry, you know, do your research. Actually reading a book, not just going on the internet and seeing what's going on there. Actually read. There's several books of things of what's going on in for cannabis and how you can grow, how you can learn how to differentiate different terpenes and what's THCA and what's CBDN and all of these other things, because it's definitely down to a science. And if you know these terminologies and you know what you're talking about, people will definitely see that and they will be like, okay, I want to work with this person because they have at least done the research, instead of like, you know, bro, I got really high and I saw this ad and, you know, my buddy told me to do it and here I am. I'm smoking right now, but I'm in this interview with you. Like, I've had people tell me that, like, where they've shown up to an interview high and I'm like, okay, just because you're in a cannabis industry doesn't mean that you should show up high. Like, maybe after, congratulate yourself, treat yourself after, great. But like, beforehand? Come on, let's be a little bit more professional. That's what we're missing in our whole like demographic of cannabis.
So marijuana is legal now. We can recreationally use it. So do you know exactly like the laws behind that? Because it's still like kind of
I was
cloudy
against
on
Prop
my
64.
You were.
I was.
Why?
Because I feel like it's going to attack all of the farmers, all the family-owned grown businesses. They're going to be pushed out because no one really wanted to do their research and combine, okay, what did Colorado's laws do? How are they working with, you know, the small-time growers and not just completely letting capitalism into our industry? Because it wasn't. It was more of, like, compassionate caregiving. We did donations, then we did purchasing. We did, okay, you are looking for these, you have these ailments, here are these remedies. Like, it's going to be more of, like, I want this amount of money. I have this much money. How can I get this? It's going to be more of, like, going to Target and buying detergent than it is being like, okay, well, what are you really using this for? And a part of me is like, yeah, we do need dispensaries that are recreational, but then also that shouldn't stomp out the small business owners because I want to be a small business owner. So to me, we haven't even thought about decriminalizing yet. So there's still people sitting in jail for three joints on them or whatever. But meanwhile, legalized cannabis, but it's not really working yet till 2018. So people thinking that they can walk in into a collective with their ID now without an actual rec is wrong. And I feel like to me, we should have thought about this a little bit more thoroughly because in Washington, they wanted to say like, well, there's a lot of DUIs with cannabis. I don't believe that because there's so many other facets of getting around in that city, and like in Seattle itself, or even Washington, it's very much more spread out for me to be like, okay, if someone knows that they've smoked, they're not going to go behind a car if they know they cannot drive it. If you physically cannot move a car at all, you shouldn't be driving it, whether you smoked, drank, took pills, whatever. That should be common sense, but you know, common sense isn't always that common. And so I feel like, if anything, with Prop 64, there's a lot of problems behind it. We should figure out with this new Measure M that's out, that's going to be on the ballot very soon. We really need to read. People, please read. Please read. Because I'm afraid for people who are those family-owned businesses and small-time farmers, they can go to jail. They can go to jail. They can get their homes repossessed now because they are on back taxes. But in this industry, there's no banks really that they can work with because it's still under federal law of it being illegal. So you can't have an actual bank account to put your money into to be a legal citizen because they're going to be like, well, that's drug money, sweetie. We reprehend that. We don't do that here. And so, like, you know, it's hard to be able to be like, okay, I want to be legit. I want to be legal. So we have to be even more thorough on our laws. And as people actually read, instead of just taking the tagline, we need to actually investigate and figure out, okay, we don't want this, but we want this. How are we going to figure out to fix this? Because it's ridiculous that now everyone's like, yeah, weed's legal. Weed's legal. Great cannabis. Let's have this. But there's still people sitting in jail for it. Why? Why is that? Why haven't we fixed that? Why is it still a problem of people being profiled, whether you are sitting in front of your block or sitting in front of your stoop, in front of your home, and you can be harassed by a police officer? Why, if it's supposed to be legal? What is the point? What did you really vote for? Did you really read Prop 64? Did you really see, like, now, like, I get that everyone's like, I don't want my 18-year-old child to smoke cannabis, but I didn't do it. Like, I waited. And so I feel like there's some young teens that can make decisions of their own if they want to smoke or not. That's something that you as a parent, if you instilled the right core values in them, they're going to have to make their own decisions eventually. So, you know, why make it a law of it being like, oh, it's illegal for you to even be in the area of people smoking weed, or even if you have it on your possession? Because before, it wasn't even illegal. It wasn't even a law because it didn't matter. Why does it matter now? Because they want to make a profit off of it. And what sense is it going to be a profit if it doesn't actually help the community? And to me, I just need people to read. please read. Read into Measure read into Measure M. Vote no on Measure N. N is a no. M is a marijuana. Like, let's know the differences and figure out what's going to be best for our community and the people outside of jail, inside of jail, people who are trying to actually make a difference in the cannabis industry. What can we do to make it better?
So, going back, how old were you exactly when you first smoked?
I was 17 and a half, close to 18. It was like right before I was going to graduate high school. And like, I didn't even smoke out of a joint. I did a shotgun hit. Like, it was from my boyfriend. So it wasn't even like, I wasn't even like partaking of actually holding it or anything like that. And so to me, it wasn't something that I planned on, like, oh, I'm going to hang out with my friends and I'm going to go smoke weed today. No, it wasn't that at all. It was just like, oh, I'm going to hang out with my friends and we're going to go to, like, go to the mall or go to see a movie and go see this view and take photos and then whatever. It wasn't, like, methodical and it wasn't something that, you know, I've been around my friends who smoked weed before around me and I've told them no. And they'd be like, what? I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, more for you. Like, why are you complaining about me when you got more for you? And so essentially, you know, there's some people that are able to say no if they want to. There's so much power in saying no. There's nothing wrong with saying no. And to me, not everything's for everybody. So cannabis with children, I feel like it's something that you should tell your children, you should inform your children of what it is and then how you feel about it and what your values are and then let them make the decision for themselves because they will. When you're not there, when you think that you've, you know, when you think that you have a hold on your children, they're sneaky. Children are sneaky. Kids are sneaky. Teens are sneaky. So to me, it's like, if you can put those core values in your children, that's all really one can do, and just on hope and thinking, like, I did what I did as a parent. I feel like my kid is good. He knows right from wrong. And that's the best that anyone can do because you can't follow your kid everywhere. It's impossible.
So what is a shotgun hit? I've never heard of that before.
Okay, so like a shotgun hit is like when you're kissing someone and they blow smoke in your mouth. I was not prepared for this. I was not prepared for this at all. And so when he did that to me, I was just like, whoa, okay, that's dope. All right, cool. And like a part of me was just like, okay, I see the point of why everyone likes to smoke. And then after that time, I didn't purchase any cannabis for a good, I didn't purchase any cannabis for like a good 2.5 to 3 years. So it was just like, okay, well, you don't have to always buy it to be smoking. You don't always have to have it, or you don't, like, I guess, like, if anything, everyone is different. I didn't have the need to purchase it. I didn't have a need for any of that because I had friends who were like, oh, if you ever want to come by, cool. And that was it. And I didn't touch it until like I was 19. So like for 2.5 years, I didn't really purchase it.
So have you used it for medical use?
Like, yeah, I have insomnia up the ass and I'm like, I wouldn't say clinically depressed. Oh, sorry. I have just really bad insomnia. Sometimes I can't go to sleep until like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning. And essentially, sometimes I have bouts of depression of like, if there's an event that has happened to me, I try not to let it like remove me. And so I use cannabis whenever I start to get anxiety. I start to get kind of like bouts of feeling that wave of depression, and so I would smoke a sativa versus an indica, so then if anything I can be more creative and I can pick up the things that I love, like photography, or I can write down my feelings, or I can go read a book, go for a walk, and kind of just totally dissipate from what the mood that I was in and move on to the next one.
So what's the difference between THC and CBC?
CBD?
Yes.
Okay, so for CBD, it's more of like pain relief. It helps with cancer patients who want to like have their white blood cells leveled up more than to attack their antibodies, essentially. Or if you have Insomnia. You can always use CBD for insomnia. You can use it for arthritis. I met this woman who started using CBD for her arthritis because she started getting it early on, and it started to kind of like not necessarily take it away, but not make it as progressive. So I feel like CBD is used for those ailments, for like actual, like, you know, physical body impairments, and THC is the psychoactive effects of you feeling euphoric. They come together as an entourage effect. You can't have one without the other, but you're going to find, like, if you wanted to purchase flower, like if you wanted to go roll up a joint, you're not going to have, depending on the strain, you're not going to have a large amount of CBD. You're going to have more of a THC, a euphoric feeling. Unless you've done research like ACDC, that's a strain that has higher percentages of CBD or CBN versus CBDN than the THC levels.
So, okay. So let's spill the tea for a second. What is your favorite? Like, do you prefer cookies? Do you prefer just the joint, brownies, candies?
I have realized that I over-medicate myself on edibles, so I've kind of, like, stopped myself on a lot of edibles because, you know, you don't want to be completely, like, I don't like feeling stuck to the couch and I can't move, I've just been hit by a train. I don't really like that because it makes me kind of even more anxious, like, oh my God, my body is going through it and how am I going to get out of this? Hopefully I can go to sleep and figure out my life. But that I found out for those problems, when you do over-medicate yourself, you take CBD. You take like a little bit, whether it can be, there's actual spray, an oral spray, there's tinctures as in like little pills, there's like rubbing topicals and all of these things. And I feel like if anything, I smoke like a chimney, I'm not gonna lie. I usually use like blunts. I've tried stopping because tobacco is really bad for you. Please stop using tobacco, it's horrible. But I've transitioned more to joints now. And I'm looking into having a bong, but I don't know.
So you said you can use, like, the spray so that you don't end up,
CBD spray is so, it's literally, it's a lifesaver. So, like, let's say you take too many Rice Krispie treats, or, like, you eat too many Jolly Ranchers, or, for my instance, the one edible stuff that I really, really like was Blacktop. It's, like, a actual vegan little, like, it's a vegan-friendly, GMO-free, and, like, sugar-free drink, cold-pressed juices, and sometimes they have coffees too, and it has hash oil infused in it, and that way he actually gives you the dosage amount of the right amount that you should be taking. So I use that, but whenever I feel like I have over medicated myself on that, you can use a CBD oral spray, or you can actually use those pills that you can get at collectives. So when you feel like, oh my God, this is too much, take a pill, you'll feel better,
and then that will still allow you to function, like, and go to work every day like a normal person.
Or, like, let's say you have back problems, you slept wrong and you woke up with a crick in your neck, take a CBD pill, you'll be fine.
Cool. That's so cool, because I think a lot of people think that, you know, you can't smoke weed and still live daily life.
You can. Misconception. Definitely a misconception. You can definitely do it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ashley, again for coming out. Be sure to check Ashley and her team out at Bloom Farms. And don't forget that with every purchase, Bloom Farms will provide a meal to someone in need. Contact information for Bloom Farms can be found on kpcradio.com. I thank you for listening to The Eavesdrop, and I hope you join me next week. Have a highly blessed day. Get it? Highly blessed day. Hi.
We see it.